the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Well, it's no secret the big news in Washington is the upcoming GOP tax bill. It's expected to be voted on next week and on the president's desk before Christmas. Like any tax bill, this one is going to affect people differently. Depends where you live, the type of home you own, and the state that you live in, and real estate in particular. Joining me on the program is Kathy Fetke. She's a specialist in real estate. Kathy, let's talk about real estate. This has been a good year for it. Prices are up 5 or 6%, and you think they could go up further next year. Why do you believe that to be the case?
I mean, it depends on which kind of real estate you're talking about, but for residential and specifically single-family homes, there is really a lack of inventory, severe lack of inventory. And then you add on the loss of thousands of homes from all these devastating storms we've had. There's some real issues out there on supply and demand that we don't see, you know, being solved anytime soon. So whenever you have a lack of supply and strong demand, you tend to see prices go up. That's what we think we'll see. Now, there'll be some markets where prices just can't go up much more, and we may see a stall there. But even so, in the highest price markets, I'm born and raised in San Francisco, even when you say, how could anybody afford to buy here? Somehow they figured out. It's amazing. So even when we're beyond affordability issues, when you have really supply-demand imbalances, then you'll continue to see prices go up.
Kathy, how would you contrast this real estate upturn, let's say, compared to the last decade? Because in the last decade, there was a lot of excess supply. Eventually, with rates going up, you know, real estate prices rolled over. This time around, builders have been reluctant to overbuild. I know here, whether it's Toll Brothers or some of the Standard Pacific, some of the big builders, if they do start a new development, they're very circumspect on the amount of inventory that they have on the market at any one time.
Sure. You can't compare the last decade with this decade at all in terms of housing. You know, just 10 years ago, loans were being given away to people who couldn't pay them back and didn't really understand what they were signing. And so usually when a bubble bursts, it's because debt can't be paid. And that was the case. And when you're handing out loans to people that they don't understand, and basically the liar loans, then you have lots of people going from rentership to homeownership because it's no different. No down payment needed, no qualification needed. You just move, sign some papers and move. It's not like that today. Today, you absolutely have to qualify. In fact, 30% of homes have been bought with cash, and the rest, about 85%, have been over a 700 FICO score. So banks are very cautious. They did actually learn a lesson, and that lesson was we better only give loans to those who can pay them back, at least based on the application. And so I just don't see an imbalance there and a debt problem in the housing market at this time. So it's completely different. And then the big difference is the builders back then, 10 years ago, also had free, easy access to money. And so they could just build stuff without worrying whether it's sold or not. And that's not the case. It's hard to get loans today for builders. And it's expensive to build and difficult. And there's a lack of construction workers, and costs to build have gone up, and regulations have gone up. So they can't just throw out new inventory easily like they used to be able to do. So that's, again, causing this supply-demand imbalance.
So let's talk about that going forward, because one aspect, especially when you live in expensive places like you and I in California, or let's say in New York or New Jersey, is that you can deduct your mortgage interest at least up to $1 million, $100,000 for a second. And also your property taxes are deductible. Now, if this bill goes as proposed, the mortgage deduction interest deductibility would drop to $500,000. So they had dropped that in half. And depending on whether the $10,000 cap on property tax deductions is allowed, at least in the House version, you know, Kathy, in California, as you and I know, when houses are so expensive, and sometimes with Miller Rouge, you can pay up to 2% property taxes, $10,000 isn't a lot of money. How would the limitation on interest deduction and the limitation on property taxes affect real estate prices and home ownership?
You know, I think I differ from most people on this subject, that I don't think it will have that big of an impact, honestly. Sure, people love to get a tax break. but they're going to get some tax breaks. You know, the high net worth people are going to get those tax breaks. And it's the high net worth people that are going to be buying the expensive homes in most cases. So, you know, people, they don't buy their home necessarily for the tax deduction. They buy it for other reasons. They want to raise a family. They want to own that home and customize the home and get a loan and pay it off over time. They want to lock in a payment and not have to deal with rent going up. And they don't want to be stuck in a situation. This is why I bought in Malibu, one of the most expensive places in the world, is because I wanted to live here. And if I were to be a renter, maybe there'll be nothing for rent, or the rents will just keep going up. And so I would just rather buy something and lock it in. And it doesn't make sense. It's expensive, but it's where I want to live. So I just think that people in California and the high-priced areas, they're not buying property for that tax deduction. And either way, they're going to get, but probably they own LLCs and businesses, they're going to get it offset in a different way. And there will be sort of the median price range that might be affected if this passes. But because of the supply-demand issues, I think people are going to overlook it and just try to get that property while they can for fear that there won't be any later. And it just seems that in California, people make that decision because they want a piece of California. They want to get in before what they fear would be too late or never.
Kathy, how much of this, I know here in California, and I've seen this within my own family, where the rents have been tight, you haven't seen a lot of buildings, so rents keep going up. And so, as you mentioned, it is a situation where you're looking at, you know, do I really want to rent? Can I afford the rental increases each year? Or should I lock in and buy a house and fix my cost?
I just can't emphasize enough what an amazing and unusual situation we have in the U.S. where we can lock in a payment for 30 years. That is just something that doesn't exist in any other country because it really makes no sense. It's subsidized by the U.S. government. You know, would you lend money, $1 million to somebody and lock it in for 30 years at a 4 or 5% interest rate? I mean, it's not the smartest business plan. So other companies have adjustable rate mortgages. So here in the U.S., you know, you have to ask yourself, do you think rents will be higher in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? When you're ready to retire, do you think rents will be higher than they are today? Of course they will. And so when you stop and think about, I can lock this in, I don't have to worry about rising rents. We know they're going up. And then while paying that rent, I can pay off my mortgage. That's what people need to be looking at when thinking about buying a home. Now, if you live in California and you just simply can't do it, you know, you just can't come up with that down payment and you can't find a property that makes sense. I just did a story on this. What a lot of people are doing is they're finding a property elsewhere, a property that maybe they would want to live in the future. And they're buying that and they're renting it out and still getting all the tax benefits and advantages of real estate, but they don't live in that property quite yet. They rent it to someone else until they maybe potentially will live in it. Or they buy a vacation home and just rent in the, you know, San Francisco or LA areas where they couldn't find inventory and whatever they could find would be too expensive. We help people buy investment property nationwide. I mean, you could buy a $60,000 totally renovated home in Detroit and rent it to somebody and get incredible cash flow, and all you had to do is put $12,000 down. So there are ways to get in. It just may not look the traditional way.
We have several clients who are going to retire out of California in the next 3 to 4 years, maybe 5 years. And Kathy, what they've been doing is going to places like Florida, Texas, Nevada, Arizona, looking at places and actually buying a place and renting it out. So they're covering their cost because they don't want to make two mortgage payments, but they're turning them into an investment property until the time they sell their home here in California and then move to that home where they ultimately plan to retire. Are you seeing that more often?
Absolutely. My sister just did it. They bought a nice, really nice place in Phoenix, but they work in Palo Alto, California, and they just can't move yet. But, you know, what we're seeing is 10,000 people turning 65 every day, and they're probably not going to stay put, not all of them. You know, if they haven't prepared properly for retirement and they live in a high-priced market, they can really shift the game by selling now and moving to a more affordable area that kind of feels like a vacation area, like you said. You know, Florida's, you know, not a bad place to end up. And parts of Texas, I mean, San Antonio, beautiful little area. Austin, all cheaper. Even, you know, you're seeing an exodus out of California into these low tax states, into cheaper and more affordable areas that also have a whole lot going on. Maybe not perfect weather and some of the things that we love and enjoy here in California. But if you just want to be able to retire, you know, maybe you just visit California and you just live where you can afford to live.
You know, you point out to a trend that I'm seeing in my own practice. I would say about 20-25% of the clients that I have that live here that are retiring are leaving the state. They're going to locale places like Sun City, Arizona. They're moving to Vegas, Henderson. They're moving to places where, number one, there's no tax or the taxes are lower like they are in Arizona. The cost of living of buying a home is cheaper. Gasoline prices are cheaper. Utilities, property taxes, all of that. And this is a strategy that's being used more and more because there's a lot of boomers that are retiring that simply don't have the assets they thought they were going to have when they were planning for retirement.
And they have the amazing opportunity now to cash out. And so I cannot emphasize enough what a great opportunity to sell at the peak, you know, use that cash to buy somewhere else. You can take the 121 exemption and not pay tax if you're married on $500,000 of the gain. That's tax-free. Or if it's a rental property, you can exchange it for, you know, tax deferred into other markets. So, I mean, this truly is the opportunity of a lifetime to sell what is a new high, a new peak in California, and exchange that to areas that haven't done that yet. Or even if they have, it's still cheap to us, you know. So Texas may be at new highs, but, you know, their median home price is $200,000. We can afford that. Same with Florida. People can buy, you know, lovely new homes in the $200,000-$300,000 range. You can really go all out and spend $500,000 and get a mansion. So lots of options there.
Kathy, what do you think this tax bill is going to do for states like California and New York? Because not only are you going to lose your deduction for paying state taxes, and California has the highest income tax state in the country, but also, you know, you just mentioned affordability. You take a house, a medium price home in San Francisco at $1.4 million, you compare that to what you can buy in Phoenix, Henderson, Vegas, any place in Texas or even Florida.
Yeah, I mean, people really do. Californians and other retirees or older baby boomers that are wondering how they're going to make up for their lack of saving over the past 30 years really have the chance to tap into that equity. You know, they can invest some of the money. They can buy a house free and clear and invest the money. There's a lot of options that people have. It's sad to see so many house poor people that, you know, don't realize how wealthy they really are if they would just tap into some of the resources that they have. So yeah, I'm like you, teaching people every day, you know, how to just reposition a few of your assets and be in the comfortable place that you've been wanting to be.
You know, not only is that going to change, I think, a migration pattern where, you know, Meredith Whitney, an analyst, talked about this core central part of the United States from Texas all the way to North Dakota, that you're going to see a reverse migration from the expensive West Coast and East Coast and moving inland with the exception of Florida. Do you see that happening?
Oh, absolutely. All you have to do is look up demographic trends and see that there's an exodus out of California. There always is when we get to a level of just such complete lack of affordability. You see that trend always. I mean, it happened 10 years ago, too, where companies need to go where they can afford to pay their employees something that they can live on. I mean, you know, Facebook and Google can pay $200,000 or $300,000 salaries and people still can't afford to live. So they're going to move their headquarters, you know, to somewhere where their employees can be happier. So you see that anyway happening, but you're going to even see it accelerate because of the fact that America's aging. And you have, you know, what had been the largest generation, the baby boomers, turning 65, 10,000 of them a day. So you're just going to see this be more pronounced. And that's why I'm constantly telling people, don't think that California home prices are going to stay high forever. They never do. They go up, they go down. And we're at a very, very high up. To think they're going to continue going up forever is just, you know, not looking at historical trends. So you do have this opportunity now. If you're at a point in life where you don't want to stay in that house for another 10 years till, you know, basically it takes usually about 10 years for California housing to recover. So if you buy at the peak and then values drop, it takes usually about 10 years to get back to where the value was. If you don't want to be that person and you don't want to be in that house for another 10 years, you really need to think long and hard about what your next steps would be. If you plan on raising your family and staying in that house for 20 years, then stay and don't worry about it. But, you know, don't think this is going to last forever. It never does.
All right. Let's talk about another aspect of real estate that could change under this tax law. And let's talk about commercial real estate, which is going to get some favorable deductions and treatment under this tax bill if it goes through. Let's talk about that and what that might mean for investors.
Well, I think that when people see the benefits that one has being a business owner and having an LLC, you know, investing in a limited liability company or limited partnership or having a C corp or S corp, any of these vehicles are going to be really tax favored. And of course, the idea is, hey, let's reward the people that are creating jobs. Well, I think everybody's going to want to create jobs or at least be involved in any kind of corporate structure like that that gives them massive tax incentive. And so whatever it is, it will help real estate boom. It will help the economy boom, small businesses, because so many people will want to be investing in these vehicles and starting their own businesses. So yes, real estate will be the recipient of that. You know, why wouldn't you want lower, you know, more tax breaks? You put everything into a corporation somehow to be able to get those benefits. And if people don't know how to do that, they really need to learn how. You know, even contractors, if you're a contractor in any way, you should be set up some form of a corporation so that you can benefit from some of these. It will most likely be some pretty amazing tax reform for business owners.
So in terms of what would you see that happening? You know, they're talking about lowering the amount of years that they depreciate a commercial building. So that means greater tax deductions. And there's even talk about lifting some of the restrictions, because right now, if you own real estate, you can deduct up to the amount of income that you have. But if you have excess losses, you can't. There's talk about changing that. What would that do?
Well, you know, again, like, this is tax reform for the wealthy. I know there's been a lot of talk about that. But, you know, that doesn't mean that the average person can't take advantage. You just have to structure yourself the way that the wealthy do. And so if people invest in real estate and other businesses and get enormous tax breaks for doing so, then you're going to see things booming. And so when things boom, prices go up. You know, commercial real estate values will probably increase. So you're going to see kind of the flip side of possibly lower yields in the future as prices go up, but lower yields might be okay because you're paying less tax on the yield. So, you know, everything has a pro and a con, but either way, people are going to have to start thinking like business owners in order to take advantage of a lot of the benefits coming our way.
Yeah, it's almost a complete change. You know, you mentioned a couple things. You're seeing a migration, and I'm seeing it in my own practice where individuals live in very expensive states here in California where they have a tremendous amount of equity tied into their own home. You know, you sell that, you move to a place that's less expensive, lower taxes, or even no taxes. So that's one consequence. The other one could be a revitalization of the commercial real estate sector, whether it's apartments, whether it's commercial office buildings, because the tax incentives are going to be there. And everybody knows if you can do something, make money, and pay lower taxes, it's a great motivator.
That's right. That's the idea. And, you know, we've got a president that understands tax breaks and wants them. And people need to understand, you know, he didn't make his billions from working for somebody else, or, you know, real estate is a powerful wealth builder, as is investing in business and starting business. And so the entrepreneurial spirit will be rewarded, and that's important for our country because it's the entrepreneur who creates jobs. So, you know, in the long run, hopefully this ends up being really, really great for our economy. And for those who feel like they're not getting the benefit, you will, because, you know, if you want a job, you know, you want your employer to be willing to take the risk in hiring.
Now, let's talk about, you know, you're talking about some of these benefits and they're saying these are going to go to the wealthy. But Kathy, you work with individuals that, you know, aren't really wealthy, and you help them find rental properties. You talked about getting a rental property in Detroit for $60,000 with $12,000 down with good cash flow. Let's talk about that, because there's opportunities for the average person to take advantage of as well.
Absolutely. And that's what I want people to know, is that, you know, don't blame the wealthy, just become one, you know, join them. And you can do that. I mean, it's the United States of America. That's what we're known for. You just have to get off your behind and take some risk. And an administration wants to reward you for that risk. So if you are building wealth, if you're starting out, yeah, you can open up an LLC, a limited liability company, and buy income property, you put it in there, and get enormous tax benefits. You don't even need some of the new tax reform for that benefit. Real estate and investment real estate has already been so tax favorable. So many people thought, well, I'm going to buy a house, my primary residence, so I can get a tax break. Well, let me tell you, that tax break is nothing compared to what you can get, the kind of tax breaks you get from owning an investment property. So if you want to rent your primary and just own investment property, you're going to get way more tax benefit doing it that way than you would have before, and certainly moving forward. your home is not going to provide that tax benefit, but investing will. And so why not? Why not own investment property? You just have to know what you're doing. And we provide an enormous amount of free education to help people get to a point where they understand it and can pull the trigger. I mean, we just do weekly webinars and blogs and one-on-one counseling to help people understand what it takes to take that big step, because it is scary.
One of the issues that I think a lot of retirees face is they're not like our parents' generation that might have worked for a company 30 years. They got a pension. Between their pension and Social Security, they live pretty well. Most boomers retiring today, all they have is their 401k and maybe the equity in their home. And one of the problems is, due to medical technology, people are living longer. They can spend 20, 25 years in retirement. And we know this, as you just pointed out with the idea about renting. We know that the cost of living 10 years from now, 15, 20 years from now is going to be higher than it is today. Talk about the possibility of using rental real estate as an inflation hedge where you get not only good cash flow, but an income return better than what you can get in many, let's say, financial securities.
Yeah, there's really nothing that competes with real estate, leveraged real estate in an inflationary environment. And we do think we're going to see interest rates rising and inflation as a result of some of these reforms that we're seeing and deregulation. And so in an inflationary environment, you've got asset values going up, you've got rents going up, interest rates going up. So when you can purchase a property at today's prices, and 60% of the country is still pretty affordable, when you could lock in today's prices and then get a loan, an investor loan, that Fannie and Freddie allow you to have 10 loans. You could buy 10 properties with these 4 or 5% rates, 6 for 30 years, just like a primary residence. You can get that for investment property, up to 10 of them. You have to put 20 or 25% down. You don't get the 4% deal or 3.5%. But so you can buy 10 properties if you've got good credit. These are little properties, so most people can qualify. My own daughter, who's a millennial, she can qualify because the payments on these little homes are maybe $300-$400. The down payments are much smaller. And you can lock in those payments. And as rents rise, you get a raise because you've locked in your mortgage payment, but you're raising rents on the tenant. So every year you get a raise. And imagine if you had 10 properties, you know, add up that raise. Maybe it's $100. Maybe it's $50, but you multiply that by 10, and yet you have a fixed payment. So, and then on top of that, the asset value increases. We know these home prices are going to be going up. So, yeah, you can absolutely take advantage of leverage. And a lot of our clients will buy those 10 properties, but instead of pocketing the cash flow, they just take all that money and pay off the loan on one property. And when you accelerate the payoff of a property, you can get it paid off in just a few years. And so, you know, we have people that have taken all the cash flow to pay off each property one by one. And after 12, 13 years, they have all 10 paid off. And again, that's the ultimate use of leverage. The reason the government tends to like inflation and wants to create it, nobody wants to pay more for things, but the government wants us to have inflation. So why? Because the government's in debt. And when you have inflation, then the debt starts to inflate itself away. And that's what the government wants to do with its debt. And that's what you can do with your debt when you get financing for real estate.
So overall, Kathy, as you look at this tax bill, whether how it impacts home ownership, you still think that's going to be positive, and also it's going to be positive for investors who invest in real estate. So overall, win-win for everybody?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's going to be some high net worth people who don't get as big a deductions on their primary residence, but I'm guessing it will be offset by their other investments. And for the average person, it won't really affect them. There won't be really any huge tax reform for them, except that when you have a thriving economy, it trickles down and it does. Wow, I sound like a serious Republican here, and I don't want to sound that way, but it's true. You know, all you have to do is look at Texas and see that that's a state that made it a very business-friendly environment. And that business-friendly environment has created the greatest job growth in the country. And that's a benefit for everybody, because when people have jobs, they're happy, they can buy homes, take care of their families, and they reinvest that money by buying stuff, keeping businesses alive by being a consumer. So it does trickle down, and Texas has been a great example of how it can be done and what seems to be where we're headed, hopefully.
Well, listen, Kathy, as we close, if our listeners would like to follow your work, you put out a lot of good information on investing in real estate and also relocating to places where you can afford to buy investment property or a principal residence at a much cheaper price.
Yeah, we give out lots of information at realwealthnetwork.com. It's all free. You can download a whole checklist on make sure that you're doing things right. You can talk with an investment counselor to get questions answered. Watch our webinars to know where the best markets are for investing today and where the best cash flow is. And then we can refer you to excellent, excellent teams in those emerging markets where you can get in front of the path of progress, get into areas like we did 10 years ago. We got out of the California bubble before it crashed and put all of our assets and all our money in Texas. And Texas just, it never even felt the recession. Didn't even know there was one, really, honestly. It was a very strong market. And we have that opportunity today to get out of the bubble market and get into markets that have stronger fundamentals.
All right. You want to give out your website?
Sure. RealWealthNetwork.com. Real like real estate, wealth like your money, and network as the network we share with you. RealWealthNetwork.com. You can also listen to my podcast, which is The Real Wealth Show, and my book, Retire Rich with Rentals, on Amazon.
Kathy, thanks so much, as always, for joining us on the program. Great advice, and looks like more good times ahead for real estate.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, that concludes my interview with Kathy Fetke. It was rather interesting. She lives in California, but a good portion of her business is finding investment properties and relocation homes for people that live in high tax states or expensive states like California. I think this is a trend you're going to see going forward as investors and even retirees look for cheaper places to live and take advantage of these new investment rules. I'm Jim Poplava. Thanks for listening.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertised with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.